Now, as they were going out of the door, Mr. Feeblemind made as if he intended to linger behind, the which, when Mr. Greatheart espied, he said,
"Come, Mr. Feeblemind, fall not behind so soon. I will be your conductor, and you shall come to the gate none behind the rest."
"Nay."
"What? Why so downcast?"
"Because I lack a suitable companion."
"What's wrong with us?"
"You're all lusty and strong, but I am weak. Let me come along at my own pace, lest my many infirmities be a burden to myself and to you as well."
"Nay, I will not hear of such a thing."
"Oh, please, sir. As I said, I am a man of a weak and feeble mind."
"No matter. I shall do thy thinking for thee in the difficult matters."
"No, you do not understand yet. I am likely to take offense and be made weak at things which others may consider a trifle. I shall like no laughing. I shall like no colorful clothing. I shall like no unprofitable question." "Do you see? I am so weak a man as to be offended with that which others have a perfect liberty to do. I am a very ignorant Christian man, and do not yet know all the truth." "Why, sometimes, if I hear one rejoice in the Lord, it troubles me because I cannot. I'm like a weak man among the strong, or as a sick man among the healthy. I am like a lamb, crippled and despised."
"But, brother, I have a commission to comfort the feeble-minded and to support the weak. You must needs go along with us."
"I am so slow."
"We will wait for you. We will lend you our help. We will deny ourselves of our opinions and habits for thy sake. Neither will we enter into doubtful arguments before thee. We will be made all things to you, rather than you shall be left behind."
Now, as they were thus in the heat of their discourse, Mr. Ready to Halt came by with his crutches, and he also was going on pilgrimage.
"Why, Mr. Ready to Halt, how camest thou hither?"
"One foot ahead of the other, same as you."
"Ah, glad I am to see thee. I was just complaining that I had not a suitable companion, but thou art an answer to my wish."
"Good. Perhaps we can be of mutual benefit. I heard you speaking of lingering behind, but I will not have it thus. Here."
"What?"
"Take it."
"Thy crutch? Do you not need both of them?"
"'Tis better, yes. But I had rather enter the kingdom with one than have thee fall behind."
"Nay, I thank thee for thy good will, but I do not want to limp before I am lame."
"Thou art sure?"
"Aye, but I may borrow it against a dog or two along the way."
"As you wish it. But if there's anything that I or my crutches can do for thee, we are both at thy command."
"Thank you. Thank you very much. Well, Mr. Greatheart, with all of this help, what can I do but follow on behind? Shall we off?"
Thus, therefore, they went on. Mr. Greatheart and Mr. Honest went before. Christiana and her six children went next. And Mr. Feeblemind came behind with Mr. Ready to Halt and his crutches. Now for a few miles, everyone was lost in thoughts of gratitude. Indeed, each left the house of Gaius happier and richer than when they entered it. Finally, Mr. Honest said,
"A great heart."
"Yes, Mr. Honest."
"Do I hear music?"
"Aye, that you do."
"Are we approaching Vanity Fair?"
"Aye, we shall get there shortly after evening sets in."
"Oh, I fear this place."
"Why so?"
"I hear tell that at night one is easily beguiled by the bright lights and music. I hear furthermore that the drunkards and addicts are hid in the back alleys, so that all appeareth to be harmless fun."
"Ah, and thou dost fear that thou shalt be tempted with its vanities?"
"Nay, not for myself. But I have two unwed sons, and I fear for what their eyes shall see and their ears shall hear in this place."
"Fear thee not, mother. We shall look straight on before us,
and stop our ears with cotton, if need be."
"Ah, good boys you are. But just the same, you are young, and..."
"If it give thee any comfort, madame, I know a righteous man in the outskirts of the city named Manasin. He hails from the land of Cyprus, and doth provide lodging for weary pilgrims."
"Indeed?"
"Yea. Shall we stop in?
Yes, I shall be very grateful for his hospitality.
What about the rest of you? Are you content to turn in there?
And they, with one accord, agreed to turn in at the house of Manasseh.
Well then, I shall knock for us.
Why is there a delay? I fear we may be as Lot and attract an unruly crowd.
I think because this is such a dangerous town. Friend Manasseh!
Is that you, old Great Heart?
Aye. Hast thou lodging for a band of pilgrims?
But of course. Do come in, one and all.
Thank you.
My, you look weary. How far have you come today?
From the house of Gaius.
My, no wonder. Come into my parlor, one and all. Here, sit you down. My, three lovely women with you this time. What a rare treat. Here, madam, sit you here.
Thank you, sir.
Well, Manasseh, the house looks even better than when last I was here.
Well, thank you. We try to improve it a little as we have time between batches of pilgrims, albeit they seem to be coming more often and to be getting larger. Do you think we should add on another bedroom or two?
I would advise it, sir. The time is coming when all who hear his voice will be going on pilgrimage, for the end of all things is near at hand.
Then I shall do it. And when I have finished entertaining the last band of pilgrims, I shall lock my door and walk on behind. But until then, we're here for the pleasure and the comfort of one and all. Now, what can I do for you?
Well, you have already given us our chief desire.
Oh?
Yes. For some hours, we have been dreading the idea of sleeping in the streets of Vanity.
Sleep in the streets? At night? Oh, my, no. No. 'Tis scarcely safe to walk them in the day. That is why my lord hath employed me to open this house.
Well, right glad we are that Great Heart knew of you.
And so am I. So am I. Now, what else can I do for you?
These are all weary, friend Manasseh. Can we show them to their rooms that they might freshen up and relax before refreshments?
Aye. Indeed I shall. Come, one and all, come.
So he had them up to their respective places and also showed them a very fair dining room where they might sup together that evening. Now when they came back down and were set in their places, they were all greatly refreshed and cheery.
Mr. Mace.
Good sir?
Are there many good people in this town?
Well, if Abraham were to pray for the town's salvation on the same conditions as set forth for Sodom, I am not sure our town would fare any better.
But such as are good here, is there any way to meet them?
Oh, of a certain. But why?
Why? Because the sight of good men to us who are on pilgrimage is like the appearing of the moon and stars to them that are sailing upon the seas.
Grace? Oh, Grace, my child.
Father?
Grace, my dear. Go and tell Mr. Contrite, Mr. Holyman, Mr. Love Saint, Mr. Dare Not Lie, and Mr. Penitent that I have a friend or two at my house who have a mind to see them.
Yes, sir.
Oh, and call thy sister Martha. I see two young men here who look to be in need of some good company. With your permission, gentlemen.
Oh, by all means. Right, Samuel?
I'm sorry. I was drifting in my thoughts. What is the question?
He asked if we would be interested in having Grace here bring her sister Martha to join us for dinner.
A young lady? To join us for dinner?
Yes. Are you interested, or shall I ask them both to sit with me?
Oh, by all means, of course. Hurry.
What he's trying to say is yes, we would love to have your company for a few hours.
Yes, sir.
Or for a lifetime, eh, Sam?
Shh. You haven't even seen the other one yet.
Who cares? If she be half the woman that Grace is, she is better than either of us deserve.
True.
Besides, thou knowest that the daughters of these heavenly innkeepers are the best in the world.
Well, yes. True so far.
Besides, there may be more giants ahead.
So?
So, if our mother agrees that these be godly maidens, we may be married men in a short time.
So, what's that got to do with giants?
Married men may not do battle for a year after their wedding.
Ah, fine by me. Although I do not mind an exciting exchange with the enemy, when we know that our victory is sure.
So by and by, Grace brought them all in, and after salutations, they sat down together at the table.
My neighbors, I have, as you see, a company of pilgrims for my guests tonight. They have come from various faraway places and are on their way to Mount Zion. But who do you think this dear matron is, Mr. Contrite? Can you guess?
No. No, I fear that I cannot.
'Tis Christiana.
Indeed. Well, what a pleasant surprise. And are these Christian sons?
Aye, my lord.
May the king whom you love and serve make you as your father and bring you where he is in peace.
Thank you, sir.
Mr. Contrite.
Sir.
How is the town of Vanity Fair nowadays? Is it so violent as in the days of Christian and Faithful?
Nay, not quite. I think that the blood of Faithful hath made them quiet for a time. I remember that in those times we feared to walk in the streets, and the very name of pilgrim was a stink in their nostrils. But for now we have a time of peace. Although...
Yes? Do go on.
I was just going to say that I fear our peace is short-lived. The morality of the place is sinking ever lower, and those churchmen who think of themselves as good people are talking of making a change.
A change? By what means?
By passing such laws as will force other people to be good. But I fear such attempts will only result in evil.
Why do you say so?
Well, it occurs to me that if a religion be of God, it will have power to change lives without the help of the state.
True.
It further seems to me that if a religion be not of God, the passing of a million religious laws will bring to it no power at all.
Also true.
What it will do is bring into the church those who fear the stocks and the whip.
Oh, yeah. Law-abiding hypocrites.
Aye. And the bringing of such as they into the church will bring the standard of Christianity even lower.
And you say this is in the wind?
Aye. Times are hard in Vanity Fair right now.
Hard, you say?
Aye. What with the drought and the many earthquakes and the increasing violence in the streets? Yes. The climate is ripe for false religions to blame all our troubles upon those who do not abide by their idea of righteousness.
But did not Jesus say that his kingdom is not of this world?
Aye, but with this they do not agree, and so ignore it. I tell you, friend Honest, I fear religious tyrants far more than I would fear Nero himself. But come, let us speak upon more cheering topics. Do tell, how has your journey gone for you?
And so they visited among themselves until the wee hours. Now they stayed at the house of Mnason a good long time. And in process of time he gave his daughter Grace unto Samuel, and his daughter Martha unto Joseph. Now, as soon as Mercy discovered that in Vanity Fair there was no lack of suffering, she set up her ministry of feeding and clothing the poor and needy. Her husband became administrator of her society, and because of their kindly deeds, the name of Pilgrim became highly esteemed in those parts. Grace, Phoebe, and Martha also betook themselves to relieving ignorance and suffering in those parts, and great good was done by them during their stay there. Also, they all begat little ones there that resembled their paternal grandfather in a remarkable fashion. Their husbands also took young boys under their care and taught them how to work with their hands, that they might not be dependent on the fitful charities of the ruling class. Now, at last, the time came on that the pilgrims must go on their way. Therefore did their friends and those many of the town who had been blessed by them attend them as far as they could, and then bade them a tearful farewell. Now, as they traveled on, they came to a monument.
Oh, Greatheart, what be this monument? 'Tis a stone left here by Hopeful in memory of Faithful.
Ah, a brave man he.
Aye. 'Tis because of him that we have gone through this town with so little suffering.
Should we not pause and give silent thanks for what he has done for us?
Aye, let's.
And so they paused to remember, and then passed on their way. Now as they gained the hill overlooking Vanity Fair, one of them espied something amiss below.
Look! What?
What is it?
Why, 'tis the giant and the monster we saw in the Valley of the Shadow of Death.
Aye, 'tis the same. And I fear that one day, soon, the whole world will wonder after that beast. Oh, a sad day for pilgrims that will be.
Over yonder, there are bald-headed men working on the walls of the castle.
And a stout one it is, too.
What are those others doing?
Building tools of war and instruments of torture.
Ah, fearful preparations. Say, come look from over here.
I know what you will see.
What? Greatheart, look. From behind, it is a mighty castle. But from here, it appears to be a house of worship.
Aye, I knew it would be so. But let us be on our way.
My, 'tis a fearful preparation for war they are making.
Aye, and it is prophesied in the last book that they shall rule for a season. But at the end, the beast shall turn and tear the rider to pieces. Then shall he be smitten by the rock, cut out without hands.
Should we not run down and give them battle?
Nay, that work we must leave for those who will come after.
Nay, but who is so able to engage them as we?
Of a truth I tell you, Matthew, that in the last days there shall arise an entire army, all of them greater than Greatheart at his best. They shall smite the beast on his feet, and at last, having vindicated the name of God, they shall ascend to the celestial city. But as for us, we have done what we could. Forward.
I saw then that they went on and passed by many memorable places that I have told thee of in my first work. But at last they came at the river that was on this side of the Delectable Mountains. On both sides of this river are trees whose leaves are good for eating and that renew strength. Here the meadows are green all year long, and pilgrims with their little ones can lie down in safety. So for many a day did they stay in these meadows and let the Master Shepherd guide their little ones into straight paths. Now at last there came a time when all were eager for travel, and so they departed these parts. They went on for several days until by and by they came to Bypath Meadow.
Halt!
For why?
For why? Open thine eyes, dear leader. The road we travel is full of potholes and sharp rocks.
'Tis only for a season.
Easy to say for you, who walk upon two good legs. But look here, a stile that leadeth into a smoother way.
Have you not heard of Christian and Hopeful who went before?
No. Why?
Then the saying is true, Greatheart.
Which?
The one that saith that those who do not learn of the mistakes of history are doomed to repeat them.
Aye.
Which mistakes?
This meadow that thou art so eager to travel in will lead to thy destruction. Here, see this pillar?
Aye.
Read this warning left by Christiana's husband for our benefit.
Over this stile is the way to Doubting Castle, which is kept by Giant Despair, who despiseth the king of the celestial country and seeks to destroy his holy pilgrims. Strange, I did not notice it. But is this writing true? I certainly see nothing but a pleasant green way that will ease our journey.
Thou must look beyond that. Look out over yonder gloomy forest. What seest thou?
Nothing.
Look again.
Well, oh, I see what you're getting at. 'Tis a castle.
Whose castle?
I cannot tell.
Why, 'tis the castle of doubt spoken of on yonder pillar. It belongs to Giant Despair.
So?
What? Have you not heard of him?
Oh, aye, indeed I have. But he is there, and we are here. And as far as the eye can see, this meadow runneth right along our path, not to yonder castle.
But it is not the narrow way. It is broad and easy.
True, but is the king so particular that when two paths seem to run parallel, we must always choose his way?
Aye, for anything but strict obedience will gradually turn thee into the forest of confusion. From there you are sure to come into the land of doubt, where thou art fair game for giant despair.
My, then right glad I am to have you as my guide.
As am I, for certainly it all looks the same to me.
Mr. Honest?
Yes, sir?
What say you that we cross this stile and go attack yonder castle?
Thy word is my command.
Anyone else?
To what purpose?
To kill the giant and his vile wife. Demolish his castle of lies and release any pilgrims that have gone over this stile.
But is it lawful for the godly to travel upon unholy ground?
Not for their own pleasure, but to seek and save the lost, I trow it is permitted.
Hear, hear!
And since I have been commissioned to resist sin, to overcome evil, and to fight the good fight of faith, I ask, with whom shall I fight this good fight, if not with the likes of giant despair? Who will go with me?
I will go.
I will.
And I.
So will I.
Then let us be gone.
Must you all be off to war?
Have no fear, Mother. We go to avenge our father's tortures.
Moreover, we shall make the way easier for our children to come after us by stopping the tunnels that lead out to yonder universities.
Therefore, we shall come off more than conquerors.
Bravely spoken, and now bravely done. Mr. Feeblemind, Mr. Ready to Halt, attend hut.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
'Tis your calling to stay by the baggage and to defend these women and children.
Me?
Us?
Aye, thou. This is the way, and if thou keep these babes strictly in it, there shall no harm come to any of thee. Forward, men.